learning it. I just sort of hoped that I would inherit my dad's gift of just throwing it out there. And so I just sort of, yeah, I didn't prepare myself. So I was driving to school and I was cutting out my palm cards that I'd only printed that morning. And there was this sort of, this sense of a bit of pride in me. I was like, I think I can do this. I think I can. And so over the amount of times that I'd read it in the car, I was like, I don't actually need these first two palm cards. I have these ones memorized. And so I left them. I left them in the car and I went to do that performance. And when I stood up at the front of the class, I'm sure you can guess what happened. I did not know those first two palm cards. When my teacher, you know, saw me nervous and stuttering, he goes, just look at your palm cards, just look at your palm cards. Because I had the rest of them in my hand. But I had not brought them in because I thought that I knew it. I was relying on my own ability, my own strength. Yes, I did not receive a very good mark for that one. So people often think that, you know, orals and speeches are very important. How much more important is our daily walk in the Spirit with Christ? In that story, I believed in my own strength. I thought that I didn't need the help of anything external, that I could all do it in myself, in my own body. But lo and behold, the brain is not very good at memory and my flesh failed me. It's like how people rely on their own flesh instead of preparing themselves in the Spirit with the Spirit. So instead of relying on our own strength, it is better to rely on the Spirit. Strength in the Spirit leads to life. The last few weeks we've been talking about how we're justified by faith, not by the law. And last week, Andy was talking about chapter 5, where we're beginning to see how to actually live in step with the Spirit. And this passage shows us how we are able to restore our strength in the Spirit. First, by how we can restore others' strength in the Spirit, how we can build up other believers by bearing their burdens in a place of meekness and humility. And second, it shows how to have our spirit built up in Christ. So, to begin, we're called to restore one another's spirit by bearing one another's burdens. In verse 1, we see it says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." Sin is a sticky sort of thing. If you've ever been to McDonald's and touched the tables or spilt honey in your hands or something, it's a really, quite gross feeling, but it's something that's really difficult to get off. And everything you touch gets sort of gummed up with it. The sin described here is like that. It's something, not something that someone's doing in rebellion, that they're actively trying to distance themselves from God, but something that they are trapped by, caught by, can't escape from in their own strength. So we're called to come to them in a spirit of gentleness, in the Spirit. This sin that they're caught in is powerful. It says, you know, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. It's so powerful that you too can kind of succumb to it. Unless you're coming in with the Spirit guarding you like a doctor comes in or a surgeon, you know, they put on gloves, they put on masks, they sanitize their hands. Unless you're coming in with the Spirit and the armor of God to help bear the burden of your brother or sister, then you too can fall to this temptation. And it's not just the temptation that they have fallen to, but it's also this feeling of pride and superiority. So verse 2, it says, "Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ." We know that the law of Christ is to love your neighbor. It says in the previous chapter, love your neighbor as yourself. So when our eyes are on Christ, properly, we're able to actually love our neighbor. We're able, when we're in the spirit, we're able to come in and love these people and bear their burdens. And, you know, it continues on in this pride thing. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. If you think, it's so easy to come in and think yourself greater than the other person, because you're not succumbing to this sin. You don't have this problem that they have. And so you're coming in to try and help them, but that in itself is a trap, is a falling pit. It's so easy to see them as lower or us as higher. But it says quite clearly here, he deceives himself. If you think you're something when you're nothing, you deceive yourself. You're lying to yourself. Everyone has these issues, has sins, and only by the Spirit, only by Jesus' sacrifice can we be saved from that. And so, yeah, it goes on. Let each one of us test his own work, that his reason to boast will be in himself and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. There's a sense of rejoicing, joy, a sense of, glory, and you know, a kind of like boasting in your relationship with Christ. But it's not in yourself. It's not boasting in your ability to have such a strong connection with Christ. It's boasting in Christ's ability to come down and have so much grace and love for you. Each person bearing his own load in chapter 5. Load is a different word than burdens in the original Greek. Load is just your sort of general kind of walk, your general thing in life. But yeah, so this transgression, this burden that other people are having is something that they're stuck in, that they can't get out of, that is, yeah, just stopping them from really truly coming to Christ. And so if you're bearing your own load, bearing your own walk with Christ, if you're walking in the Spirit, you can come to these people and help alleviate and sacrifice and help alleviate this this issue that they have. So, yeah, help build one another up. Build one another up in Christ, in the Spirit. Let ourselves be strengthened in the Spirit and in Christ and not in our own strength. In John 8, the Pharisees bring an adulterous woman to Jesus. They'd caught her in adultery and they bring her in and they would have dragged her. She would have been in a shameful, dehumanized sort of position. And they had stones. The law says that caught in adultery, you're able to be stoned. Well, you should be stoned. But they bring her and they're testing Jesus. They say, Jesus, what should we do with this woman? And Jesus' response is to let the one who has not sinned first throw the stone. Throw the first stone. He came in the Spirit, in the strength of the Spirit, in without a sense of judgment or superiority or pride. He came humbly, he came meekly, he came in humility to say that. And when they heard that, they all thought, and the oldest ones were likely the wisest because they dropped their stones first and walked away. And it says, from the oldest to the youngest, they slowly left their stones and left her be. And Jesus comes to this woman and he says, where are those who condemn you? How many are there? She says, there are none. And he says, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Jesus was able to come and bear this woman's burden. He was able to come in the Spirit and save her from this. But he came in to save her from the people that were trying to kill her. But yeah, then he put it on her and he said, you know, go and sin no more. And so, like that, we too must emulate Jesus by sharing one another's burdens, by coming in a sense of humility, of meekness, of not thinking ourselves greater than the other person or the other person less than us. On Tuesdays, you know, we have our Bible studies, or we have had, and we were really impacted a couple months ago about this kingdom community, this coming in and just having a community of light, of in the Spirit. And to do that, we found that we had to be open with one another. And so each night at the end of the study, after we'd all, you know, soaked in all the word as much as possible, we then had a thing where we told each other our recent, you know, our recent walks with Christ, how we're going. We said the gospel impact, how the gospel has impacted our lives. That one was a little bit hard. We still don't really fully understand that one. But the one that's really powerful is we're sharing our vulnerabilities with one another. We are able to, and we are only able to do that because we're in the Spirit. I don't want to come into a community. I don't want to come into a community and say, man, I really stuffed up this week. I messed up so bad, or I'm trapped in this, or I'm doing this. It doesn't feel good to do that unless you're in the Spirit, unless you're each filled with the Spirit and able to come in a sense of humility. So we are able to do that because of Christ's Spirit that is afforded to us, the strength that we're able to get from the Spirit. So how about this? How do you do all of this? Where can you think in all of your lives, how can you help bear the burdens of the rest of the congregation in this church? Because there are burdens here. Like, that's probably just a fact of life. And there's quite possibly a fair few burdens being shouldered alone. So how can we together come in to love our neighbor, to fulfill this new law of Christ, to come in humbly and meekly and without judgment and help carry those burdens? So we see how we can help other people have their strength restored in the Spirit. So then how is it that we restore our own strength in the Spirit? Or how is it that Christ restores our strength in the Spirit? We see here that to restore our strength in the Spirit, we must sow in the Spirit. Verse 6, it says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. When someone comes in to help and there are good things that come from that, it's such a blessing to see those good things. So sowing in the Spirit can even be bearing one another's burdens that we just talked about. It's always such a blessing to see God move in someone else's life, and provides yet another avenue to praise God. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, he will also reap. Don't be tricked. Don't be tricked into thinking that sowing into one place won't yield fruit. If I'm a farmer and I plant an apple seed and I continue planting apple seeds in this field, it's not going to sprout up oranges.
Yes.
And so that point is exemplified even more in verse 8. For the one who sows to the flesh will reap from the flesh corruption, but the one who sows in the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life. If I go down to the Bottle-O every single night and I drink myself blackout drunk every single night, I'm going to develop a pretty crippling addiction to alcohol. If I sow in the wants of the flesh, to want to go and get drunk all the time, or if I sow in the wants of the flesh to look at pornography for 2 or 17 hours or whatever, then I'm going to be chained to that. I'm going to reap the fruits of that, and those fruits are not good fruits. But if I am spending time sowing in the Spirit, spending time praying and reading my Bible, then I will be able to reap the spirits of eternal life, reap the reward, the fruit. It goes on. It says, in verse 9, do not let us grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, and if we do not give up. I always thought, how do I get closer to God? How do I see him better? And people would always say, pray, read your Bible. It's really just that easy. And you'd never believe them. as a young little upstart myself, is like, no, there's got to be something more. There's got to be just a little bit more to that. But it really is just spending time sowing and into this. If you sow into the Spirit, you will come to know God better and you will grow stronger in your relationship with Him. So as we have the opportunity, let us all do good, or let us do good to everyone, especially those in the household of strength, faith. We can share this strength that we have in the Spirit with others. So I was told this really great story, this really wonderful story of these two dogs that were in this town. These two sort of wild dogs were, there's a black dog and a white dog, and they'd always fight. Every single day they'd come in and fight, and claw at each other and bite each other until one won. And there was one guy, one sort of outskirt guy, and every single time he came in, everyone would be placing bets on which of these dogs would win. And this one outskirts guy, he always was able to choose the right dog, every single time. He'd always bet on black if the black one, always bet on white if the white one. And, you know, one day this curious young fellow, he comes up to him and he goes, man, how is it that every single time you know which one of these dogs is going to win? And the man goes, the one that wins is the one that I feed in the morning. When you are feeding your spirit will win. When you're feeding your flesh will win. These two forces, Andy was talking about it last week, is that two forces that are constantly in battle. So let us let our spirit win. And it is hard sometimes. I was complaining to Jared earlier this week about how I really don't like the process of learning. I'm quite impatient. I'd rather just play a single key and become Mozart, or to, you know, lift a single weight and become the next Dwayne the Rock Johnson. But it doesn't work that way. You have to be constantly working out to get bigger muscles. You have to be constantly practicing the piano to play these pieces so well. And again, it's the same. It takes time. It doesn't, maybe you're not going to pray one day and suddenly all of the secrets of heaven will be revealed to you. You know, it does take time, but He gives us this this encouragement that no matter what, there will be a reaping. Let us not grow weary, because in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So we must be constantly sowing in the Spirit to restore our strength in the Spirit. So how's your day going? Are you giving yourself time to sow in the Spirit? I know I am not that great at it a lot of the time, but this week, sitting in this passage alone even, for however long, I have found so many things already that, and even things that you think would be so obvious, but they just always pass over every single time. And so I've been able to learn so many things just in studying this 10 verses, 10 verses of the whole Bible. How many verses are in the whole Bible? Huh? So, yeah, if you can find time in your day, which you can, just sow into it. Just really sow into it and build your spirit up. So Paul has been showing us in Galatians that we are justified in Christ, not in the law. That the law of Christ, love your neighbor as yourself, is the way to go. And the way you do that is by having your eyes on God, having your eyes in Jesus, and having that love flow out through you to the other person. He shows us that building up one another is how, and by carrying each other's burdens is how we build up each other in the Spirit. And by sowing to the Spirit constantly is how we build up ourselves in the Spirit, build up the strength of the Spirit. So, yeah, just that final challenge of always be sowing in the Spirit, always be ministering and carrying burdens in the Spirit. Come in humility, and just, yeah, surrender your life as a living sacrifice to Christ. Let's finish off in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have given us this beautiful text that we can see and know things and come to know you closer and better. Lord, I ask that you help us carry our brothers and sisters' burdens, that you help us come in humility and meekness and not judgment, and just, really, really be sacrificial and focusing on your glory in them. And Lord, that you help us sow in the Spirit, that you help us be constantly and always trying to build up our relationship with you, or letting you build up our relationship with us, and just sitting in you and growing. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Nice.